Good morning. We thank you so much for being here today. And if you are visiting with your father or grandfather, then we are certainly glad that you are here. And to fathers everywhere, we honor you this day, whether it be in actuality or in memory of the wonderful people that you are. For those of you who came last night to the benefit dinner, we thank you so very, very much. We had probably 40 to 50 here from Florence Boulevard that came. We had 254 present, about 25 or 30 congregations. And right now, the total is $15,410. We hope that will continue to grow. And we just thank you so very much for your continued help and love and support for the children of our home. Later on today, after services, I'll be going to Maywood, and seven of our children will be going with us, some for the very first time. We thank you for your help so that they can go and attend that camp, and we're grateful for the opportunity of doing that. It's going to be a hot week, but I think I've got a lot of clothes to take, and so hopefully everything will work out in a good way. If you were to think about some godly fathers of the Bible, what people might come to your mind? Would you perhaps think about Abraham? You know, it's interesting that God gave him a great compliment even before he became a father. The Bible talks about him in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, when God said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. The Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." What a wonderful compliment that his family would follow him because of his leadership. Or perhaps you might think about Noah. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he's referred to as that preacher of righteousness. In a very pagan and terrible world, he preached for 120 years while he was building that ark. And when the time came for those to go within the ark because the rains were coming, his children, his sons, heeded his preaching, along with the wives and his own wife. And thus he saved his own family, even though the others chose not to listen. Or perhaps we could think about Job. Job was so godly that in chapter 1, he would regularly pray for his 10 children and offer sacrifices for them, lest they were to sin. And thus he did this on a regular basis. Or perhaps in the New Testament, we can think about the future parents of John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth. So great were they that in chapter 1, verse 6 of the book of Luke, it says that they were righteous before God, and they walked in the commands and ordinances of God in a blameless way. Wonderful examples of parents and the fathers are found in God's Word. But this morning, we want to talk about one that may not immediately come to our minds. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus Christ. Although there are some things that we do not know about him, there are some things that we do know about him. And so I encourage you to follow along in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 that was read to us. And let's look at what God's Word has to say about this man in regards to him being a father. First of all, from the Bible, we learn that this man was a religious man. Matthew begins in chapter 1 by giving the lineage of this man. And he's mentioned in verse 16. And no doubt there are some wonderful names that are mentioned in that great lineage that Joseph had. He was of the seed of Abraham. He was of the household of David himself. Sometimes wonderful individuals in our heritage doesn't necessarily make for us being the religious person that we need to be. And he's mentioned in verse 16. But then we have this story in verses 18 and 19 about this man. How that he was engaged or betrothed to Mary. And unlike our days of engagement, their process of engagement involved, well, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Maybe we need to start with prayer. The process of engagement were three parts. First of all, there was the matchmaking, often done by the parents or maybe a professional matchmaker. This was the only time in which the daughter could refuse to marry the person that they were trying to match her up with. And typically, this would happen at age 12 or 13 in terms of the girl themselves. A boy typically would be betrothed a little bit later on in life, but girls as early as 12 or 13. But then there's that second part, the betrothal part, the espousal part, as it's mentioned, the ratification of the agreement, where after they had been joined together, they were seen as legally married in the eyes of society. This would be a process of 1 year in which they may have very little social contact with one another. Yet it was a time of the testing of their fidelity, of their allegiance to one another. They were seen legally as husband and wife, even though they had not consummated the marriage and would not do so for another year. It was at this time that the dowry, the gift, was given to the father of the bride. This was for the purpose of perhaps paying for the expenses of the wedding. But it was also served as an insurance in the event that during that 1 year betrothal period of time, if he was dissatisfied with his wife, then in fact the case would be that this would be a form of insurance and the family would not walk away without anything. Then thirdly, there would be the marriage itself that took place a year later. Then and only then would they come together in an intimate manner. But notice in verse 18 that during that betrothal period of time, where legally they are seen as a couple, where legally they are seen as husband and wife, it says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Notice the sad irony of that statement. Before they came together, society today suggests there is nothing at all wrong with a young man and a young woman being involved intimately, sexually with one another before marriage. But such was not the case in their day, and such is not the case in God's Word even today. But notice what it says about him in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. That word there means literally righteous. It's a religious man. It's a word that suggests the principle of the type of person that he was. Here was a religious man who would be a religious figure to the children that would be brought forth into their life. He did not want to make her a public example, and thus was going to put her away secretly. That word there, just, that word there, righteous, is interesting because it's used in various ways concerning various people in the Bible. It's used concerning Noah. It's the same word for Lot. We sometimes use the phrase like father, like son. It's used of Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 19, when the wife of Pilate says, don't have anything to do with this just man because I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The same word here for just is used of elders in Titus 1 verse 8. It's used of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and also of Joseph of Arimathea who took care of the body of our Lord after his death. Here is a man who was just. Here was a man that was righteous. Fathers, if your children, without fear of what you might say, were to use one word to describe you, what would they say? My father is, and they filled in the blank. What would they say about you? We need to live in such a way so that folks will see us for the righteousness of our life. this man, this father, was a righteous man. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, only let your manner of life be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1 verse 27. Secondly, from the Bible, we learn that Joseph was an honorable man. There was honor about him. He knew that he had not been with Mary. He knew that he had not done anything wrong in this relationship, that during this 1 year of testing, he had not been unfaithful to her, even though they had not come together even to live together. According to their laws, he could have brought her before the people, because it was considered adultery in a situation like this, where someone is expected with child before the consummation of the marriage. He could have divorced her publicly. He could have even had her stoned according to the laws of their day. But notice verse 19 that it says, he did not want to make her a public example and thus was going to put her away secretly. He wanted to do the right thing. He didn't want to make her a laughingstock and a spectacle. He was an honorable father. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Fathers, husbands, do we live in such a way as to bring honor to our families? Are there things in our lives that bring shame or embarrassment to them by how we live? Or can we say, as was the case of here, that this was an honorable person that lifted up his family, that didn't want to embarrass Mary any more than what had happened already? He didn't know about the part of the Holy Spirit until later on. He was going to do this before the knowledge of that. What kind of honor do we have that is seen in the lives of how we treat our families and the way that we live it before them? In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, Paul, as he himself not being a father, talks about, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged you, even as a father does his children. We need to have that type of honor in our life, how we live. Thirdly, Joseph was an obedient man. And what was read to us earlier, as he is asleep one night and is thinking about these things, an angel of the Lord comes to him and tells him what's going on, that Mary is still a virgin. She has not known a man sexually. And yet what is within her is there because of the Holy Spirit. He then is told by the angel that he's to take this son and raise him, and that he is to be called Jesus, which means Savior, because he's going to save the people from their sins. Back then, it seems to have been the place for the father to have named the children, as was the case of John the Baptist by Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. Imagine what Joseph must have thought as he hears this from this angel in this dream, that the very woman that he had given his life to, that he had not even come to be a part of in an intimate manner, was carrying the Christ child, that for hundreds of years had been prophesied that he would be coming to the world, and it was his wife that would bring that child to the world. Isaiah 7 verse 14 would prophesy what in fact was now about to take place. 12 times in the book of Matthew, you're going to use that phrase, that it might be fulfilled. And then it shows the scripture that fulfills what's about to happen. It's used here. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. How much of this did Joseph understand? We're not sure. But whatever the case was, he awoke from sleep, and immediately he did as the angel told him to do, and took her to be his wife. Fathers, do we obey the teachings of God's Word? Do we hear what God's Word has to say and then we follow it in our own lives? Can we, like Joshua, say about our family in Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Think about your fathers, whether they are alive today or whether they have ended this life, and yet their memories are still sweet to you. Can you think about the godly teachings that they instilled by their own life? I know of an older son who talked about his father who died at the age of 72. At his death, he made the statement, I never once saw my father, he said, do anything contrary to the teachings of God's Word. What a compliment. Now, I'm sure that father was not perfect. I'm sure there were times when he did things amiss from God's Word. But here was an aged son who said, I never once saw my father sin by the life that he lived. Joseph was an obedient man and thus an obedient father. Fourthly, from God's Word, we learn that Joseph was a good citizen. If you flip over to Luke chapter 2, you have that story when, as a baby, Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the world, wants to have everybody register for the purpose of taxation. And they were to go back to their own home cities for the purpose of that. And it tells us that Joseph and his wife and the baby Jesus leave Nazareth and go to Bethlehem, where he was supposed to go and register. Now think about that. There's a 60-mile process there, leaving the Galilean region to go there near Jerusalem to Bethlehem. That would be a long distance for anyone, but much less a little baby. But on this particular occasion, we know that the baby had not yet come, that his wife was great with child. So imagine that difficulty of traveling with his wife and his concern for her and all the time that it would take. But he was obedient to the laws of the land. They said, this is what you're supposed to do. This is where you're supposed to go. And thus he did it. He was a good citizen. Fathers, are we instilling in our children the respect for the laws of the land? Do they see us obeying the laws of the land, and thus when they teach us to obey the speed limits, they see us practicing the driving of those speed limits? Do they see us paying our taxes as we ought to pay and not cheating our income taxes? Do we practice what we are teaching them in regards to being good citizens of the land in which we live? Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Oh yes, there may be some laws we're not really wild about and paying these taxes, but it's a part of society. It's a part of obeying the king, if you will. And thus, we show and honor our love to God by respecting and obeying the laws of the land, by being a good citizen. Are we practicing what we teach? And what standards are we setting for our children to follow long after we're dead and gone? Ronnie mentioned that in his prayer, the lessons that we learned that perhaps sometimes we didn't really want to accept, but now we think about and honor our parents because of those laws and those standards that they set for us. They're a part of our makeup. I heard about a father who was very successful in life. In fact, he was a multimillionaire. He and his family were going on a well-deserved vacation, and they were flying out of a certain airport. This father went into the restroom there at the airport and was gone for a long, long, long period of time. Finally, when he came out, the family asked him if he'd gotten sick or something, and he said no. Somebody had written some racist remarks on the wall, and so I took the time to clean them off. You reckon those children ever forgot that lesson that their dad was teaching them? That you leave the world a better place than what you found it? That you try to make a difference in society by this little action, even on a day of vacation? Joseph was a good citizen. He did what the laws of the land suggested. Next, from God's word, we learn that Joseph followed the laws of God. Not only did he follow the teachings of a pagan ruler by offering unto him what he needed to do, that is, registering, but he also obeyed God's law in offering the sacrifices that he was supposed to. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Luke. Listen to what verses 22 through 24 says. Now, when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb should be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Actually, the law of God suggested that when a child was born, you were to offer a lamb. But if you were poor, you could offer the pigeons or the turtle doves. Here was a man keeping up with God's word, doing what God's law said. Notice that statement, presenting him to the Lord. Can you imagine how that must have been? As he comes into the temple with God's son, now a body, a physical body in his arms. What must he have said as he presented Christ unto the Father, thanking him for the opportunity of being a father to his son, that is God's son. And yet here he was, obeying the laws of God by doing what the scriptures had to say. Another great quality of the life of Joseph is that he was willing to protect his family. Back in chapter 2 of the book of Matthew, in verses 13 and 14, we read, Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Here again, an angel comes to him. Here again, he tells him, you need to go from where you are and now go to Egypt because Herod's going to try to destroy this child. Notice that he does so by night. Once again, there was difficulty involved. But he was going to do whatever it took to take care of the Christ child. He was going to protect his family. No doubt, his life was in danger. The life of Mary was in danger. Also, Jesus. And yet he was willing to protect them. Fathers, how much are you and I willing to go to protect our family? Let's imagine that today you're watching TV or you're perhaps listening to the radio. And all of a sudden there's a bulletin that comes across that says that two men, armed and dangerous, have killed some people somewhere here in Florence, and they are on the loose, and the police are looking for them, and everyone's to go into their homes and lock their doors. Would you allow your children to go to the mall or to go to other places? Of course not. You would heed those words. You would lock them behind the doors of your home, and then you would stand at that door with whatever weapons you had, and make sure that those men are not going to come in and harm your children or your wife or your family in any way. That they're going to have to come through me, that is you, in order for them to do so. Do you realize spiritually that there is such a murderer lurking about? He's called the devil. In John 8, verse 44, he talks about him. He talks about this person that we've got to be so careful about. that he was a murderer from the beginning. He abides not in truth, that he's the father of lies, and that he is a murderer. He desires to have the souls of our children, our grandchildren. And thus it's up for us as fathers to be the responsible people within our home. God's holding us accountable as the head of our home to stand there at the door, if you will, and to not allow evil to enter therein. Fathers, we've got to be so careful to make sure that what our children see, what they hear, how they dress, all of that is in keeping with God's word. And that we don't allow evil through Satan to come in, whether it be social media or TV shows or telephones or whatever the case may be, for evil to get past us at that door and to enter into their hearts and into their lives. Just like Joseph was willing to flee to Egypt to protect his family, we've got to at all costs protect our family from the evils of this world and from that murderer called Satan who would desire their hearts and their minds and ultimately their souls. But then also, Joseph led by example. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us that at the age of 12, they go to Jerusalem. This wasn't just a common vacation type of trip. The Bible tells us in chapter 2, verse 41, that every year at the feast of the Passover, they went to Jerusalem. This was for the observance of that sacred feast. A good Jew would at least once a year go back to Jerusalem, whether it be for Pentecost or Passover, and to be there for worshiping God and to be there with his family. And you may recall this is the story where Jesus stays behind and was in the temple, and they miss him for 3 days. They loved Jesus, and they go back looking for him. And ultimately, verse 51 says that he was subject to his parents and that he grows and increases in stature with God and in favor with men as well. But here was a man who led by example. Here was a man who says, we're going to go back to Jerusalem because that's where we get to worship God. Fathers, are you leading the way and leading your children and your family to God? By taking them to church, by being there on a regular basis. How blessed it is to know that your children are in church today, that they'll be there tonight, and they'll be there Wednesday night, that they're actively involved in the congregation where they live, wherever they are, because they saw in us as parents that Christian example of putting God first within our lives. Joseph was a very wonderful individual. He seems to have died early in the life of Jesus. But there's some things about him as a father that we would do well to emulate. He was a religious, a righteous man. He was an honorable man in the way he reacted to what had taken place to Mary. He was obedient, listening to what the angel had to say. He was a good citizen, obeying the laws of the land. He was following the laws of God by offering the sacrifices that he needed to offer. He protected his family, was willing to do whatever it took to save the Christ child and his own wife by fleeing to Egypt. He led by example by going there to Jerusalem and by taking his family with him. In this audience today, there's so many fathers just like Joseph. So many fathers that lead by example. And to you we say, blessed. And may your children and future generations follow after your way. But it may well be that as you think about this example in the life of Joseph, you see some things amiss in your own life. You see some things that you need to change, that you need to correct. While you have the opportunity of doing that, we invite you to accept this wonderful invitation, just as you are, to come and to ask forgiveness of wrong. to ask for strength to be better examples for your family and for others about you. If you're not a child of God, then you cannot lead where you are presently not going. Why not come in believing faith, turning from the sins of your life, confessing the sweet name of Jesus as God's only Son, and then today be baptized so that all your sins might be washed away, and then to begin that walk by leading your family, whether they be children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, in the ways of God. Just as you are, Jesus invites you to come right now as we stand and sing.
Just as